Ready for a typical Friday morning in the library of the Champaign County Satellite Jail. Providing books to incarcerated men and women seems like a no-brainer. Education is one of the simplest and most cost-effective ways to help reduce recidivism. Incarcerated adults often have lower literacy skills, making it difficult for them to re-enter society. But giving prisoners access to education can lower recidivism by over 40%. It pays off economically and socially. It defies logic, but inmate access to literature is under threat. In the early 2000s, the Illinois Department of Corrections spent about $750,000 a year on books for Illinois inmates. Since then, budget cuts have been severe. In 2017, IDOC spending for books for inmates was just $276. Sometimes I wonder how the $276 was actually spent. Did an ambitious young librarian manage to cut a purchase order before the accountants clamped down? Or did IDOC divide the money equally across countless state prisons, county jails, and juvenile detention centers? Maybe they bought a paperback dictionary for each facility. Well, some would still have to share. Community groups like Books to Prisoners that I volunteer for have stepped in to try to fill the gap. We rely on book donations from people and organizations. We use them to stock and operate local jail libraries. More broadly, we mail free books to inmates in each of the 28 Illinois state prisons in response to hundreds of written letters we receive each month. It's no solution, but it's something. I trade places with Doris later in the morning. Doris is the lead volunteer. In fact, she runs the whole library program. She manages the schedule, recruits volunteers, and communicates with the warden. She's been doing it for years. Now I'm working the floor, restocking shelves, and helping fellas find books that they're interested in. It's my favorite part of the job. A young guy is looking for a book about drawing. He wants to make pictures of animals for his son. I find a few in the hobbies section. I also grab a book on origami. Maybe you could fold animals for him, too. Someone else asks for a book on starting a business. I know right where to go. We get this request a lot. Fellas worry about how they'll make it on the outside, how they'll find jobs with a felony on their record. Without a lot of options, they think about starting small businesses like doing yard work or repairing cars. Of course, most guys read for fun, to escape a little. A guy asks me, "You got Cartel 3? Maybe. It'd be up front in Urban Fiction. Let's go look." I think it surprises them sometimes, when I crawl around on the floor looking for books on the bottom shelves, or when I'm alone in my reading glasses because they forgot theirs back in their cells. A little humanity I don't think they expected. There's a good vibe in the library this morning. A couple guys argue about which Dean Koontz novel their friend should read. Adi tries to generate interest in the trivia question that's written on the whiteboard. Mr. Watkins implores everyone to show a little love for Mr. Patterson. Apparently, the shelf of James Patterson books needs to be better organized. When time's up, we help them check out their items for the week. They can have up to 8 out at a time. I also write down a few requests. Mr. Williams wants a large text Bible. Mr. Lockett wants the fourth book in the Aragon series. Oh, and we need more word search books. We always seem to run out of those. Sometime before next session, Doris will search our workroom to see what she can come up with. The correction officer pats them down as they leave the library. As soon as one pod is taken back to their cells, another is brought in. By the end of the morning, we've served 68 patrons. Of course, it's all just a micro blip in the grand scheme of things. There are about 40,000 people locked up in Illinois prisons. 97% will eventually be released back into their community. And they've got a tough road ahead. The cold reality is that nearly half will return to correctional facilities within 3 years of release. They're going to get out, so we probably don't want to destroy them while they're inside. It just makes sense. The least we can do is give them something to read.
All right, guys, that was Tim reading us his essay on his experience as a jail librarian. So first off, thank you for coming here and doing that for us, Tim. It's a big deal. So there's a lot to unpack there. I just kind of want to get started just by talking about the program in general. So how would someone get started in doing something like that, in going into the jails and helping out in their libraries? If they wanted to get involved to do pretty much exactly what you want to do, how would they go about it?
Well, here in Champaign, so there's a group called Books to Prisoners, and the core focus of Books to Prisoners is mailing donated books that we receive to incarcerated people throughout the Illinois state prisons. So we ship those through the mail, and I talk about that a little bit in that essay. We also we act as librarians at the local Champaign jails. There's two. There's a downtown jail and a satellite jail. Mm-hmm. And so that program is organized through that Books to Prisoners organization. And you can definitely reach out to bookstoprisoners.org. UCbookstoprisoners.org is the website. If you're interested in volunteering, we've got we'll have a MLK Day open house where you can meet people and learn more about the volunteer organizations and so on.
All right, well, thank you for that. A big aspect of a lot of these things is the fact that we can talk about all these things that are terrible or whatever, but when it comes to what we can do to make an impact, a lot of us usually are just left wondering, well, I care about all these things, I just don't know what I can do. So, yeah, it does seem that it's great that there's an organization like Books to Prisoners where if you want to do the kind of stuff that Tim's going to be talking about, you can go ahead and get involved with them, or even just follow along in the stuff that they release if you don't feel like you personally are comfortable with doing the exact same stuff that he is. So then moving on in that line of questioning, what do you think really makes someone the ideal jail librarian? Like, if you were describing someone, like the unique characteristics they have.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it takes a lot of specialized skills, at least. I'm a volunteer librarian here in the Champaign jails. Mm-hmm. It's organizing the books. It's checking books in and out. Some alphabetizing skills is helpful, but probably not required.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a desire to interact with people and help them find books. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the core of the job, and that's the most fun part of the job is to just talk to people about what they're interested in, what they're looking for, and help them find stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I figure, like, part of that, too, you'd probably develop over time, right? Like, even if going in you don't have too much of a personal connection, I'd imagine over time you'd kind of, like, learn it on the job.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then along those lines, so going back to the essay for a second, I noticed that, like, you named a few people in – like specifically. So do you start to form like more of a personal connection with people, or is it that your time with them is limited enough that you just know them by their names on the cards?
So the people, the names that I mentioned some of the names of the librarians. I used fictitious names for the names of patrons. Mm-hmm. So incarcerated people, in the essay. Our job is to help them find, is to help people find books. We don't develop personal relationships with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're there to talk with them about what they're interested in and what they're looking for, and to help them find books, really.
Gotcha. Okay, so yeah, no, that makes sense that you'd have to take like more of a systematic approach to the stuff that you do. Were there any unexpected challenges with your work there?
Unexpected. I don't know. I'll think about that. I'll think about that, Sam.
Well, thank you. Yeah, let me know if you think of something. Were there any, like, unexpected benefits, like lessons you didn't think you'd have to learn going in, but...
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is, before doing this, I really had no experience working in prisons or jails.
Mm-hmm.
And what a humanizing... It gave me a lens into people's lives that I didn't have before, and it helped me understand people that are in the jails, and that they're, people, and they've got wide varieties of interests, and and the types of things that they want to read, and the types of things that they want to do in their lives, and it really helped me to just better understand, people that are going through those experiences.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of the thing about being someone who doesn't have to have that much direct contact with incarcerated individuals or ex-incarcerated individuals is the fact that there's kind of like this alienation where we kind of have this idea in our head, right, about who these people are, even if, like, none of us have ever directly interacted with someone like that. Or it could be that we probably do interact with lots of people who have been inside the criminal justice system, but... people don't go around announcing that they're a part of it. So I think it exactly like you said, is it seems like it makes sense that it'd be a humanizing experience and everything. Are there any specific examples that you want to give of that? Not like naming anyone, but anything where like you had like your prejudice kind of tested or challenged by someone that you saw.
Each individual that you work with and you interact mm-hmm. with is different, and it's just the variety of interests and concerns that people have in their lives that is most impressive. I mean, some people are looking for spiritual books. They're looking for books to help them worship. Others are looking for you know, self-help books. Others are looking for, you know, fun adventure books, you know, thrillers. You know, just the variety of interests is what's amazing and impressive.
Yeah, so there is really like no pinning down any one person for anything, right?
The libraries at the jails, probably the variety of books that there are is reflects the variety that you'd find at any library. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no like single pattern to what people are looking for or are interested in.
Gotcha. So, how long have you been doing your work as a jail librarian?
About 2 years.
Gotcha. So, 2 years. How has like stuff changed during your time there? Have your roles changed, your responsibilities in general? Have there been like any big program changes, or is it mostly just been on like a personal level?
It's pretty much just on a personal level. There's been some changes within the organization, the library organization that I'm a part of. Some of the names that I mentioned, Adi and Doris, in the essay that I wrote, you know, their roles have changed and so on over time as well. But, you know, pretty much, you know, we do hours at the downtown jail Monday nights and Tuesday nights, and then out at the satellite jail on Friday mornings. And it keeps cooking along. it keeps cooking along, at least as it has for me over the past 2 years.
Gotcha.
And we get new librarians all the time. You know, part of being in this community, the U of I has a library sciences program, and so we get a lot of new librarians come to us interested in volunteering from that library science program. So we get new people all the time who are getting involved, and that's awesome. They're wonderful.
Oh, that's actually really interesting. So the people that come from there, like the new jail librarians you get, how long do they usually stay with you, like on average?
Well, the people from the library science program, a lot of them are you know, they're students in a 2-year program, so they'll be with us for a couple years. There's people that are just from the community who are interested in helping out, and there are people that have been long-term volunteers for years and years, and you know, others like myself that are fairly new to it. So it's a pretty wide range.
Yeah, no, it's like, do you see like much of a difference in perspective between like the newer and older volunteers, or is it mostly just kind of everyone's in there with the same goal in mind, the same way of going about things?
The new librarians that come to us, they are so comfortable and so with it. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, and it's fun to see them enter the program and. Pretty much without exception, from day one, they come into the program and they start working with patrons, you know, incarcerated people that are coming into our library, it's really impressive. It's really impressive.
Wow. Yeah. No, that sounds great. That you know, I would just imagine myself, I'd probably be like pretty nervous going into it, but to hear the fact that there are people out there who go into it like with this super positive attitude and are able to get right into it, that's pretty astonishing in a good way, of course. You know, it's impressive that people are able to take on that kind of role, and it just goes to show you as well that like there are people out there trying to help. It's not just like this is an issue where no one's trying to make any ground move or anything.
Well, and the Champaign jails, I think, do a really nice job. There's you've got to go through a program and background checks and all sorts of stuff, and they certainly help work. You know, do a good job to help set expectations and set ground rules and. You know, the corrections officers do a good job too of, you know, setting the tone and making sure people are comfortable and making sure it's a positive experience for patrons and for librarians. And
oh yeah, the fact that you guys have a bunch of institutional support so that you have backup on like what exactly your responsibilities are and everything, that's definitely invaluable as well. So kind of just to move on to, so first I just want to go on like a quick side note. I was wondering, what's the preferred term of people who are in jails, like, to refer to them? Because I actually saw a cool thing from the Marshall Project, which had kind of three terms on there, one of which was incarcerated individuals, one of which was prisoners, and one of which was inmates. And so I think the numbers shaped up being 30% said other, so not any of these terms for their preferred nomenclature. 38%, I think, said incarcerated individual, 23% said prisoner, and 10% said inmate. And so the Marshall Project didn't just ask prisoners, it also asked, like, wardens and people like that. And so I thought the spread was interesting, where all the incarcerated individuals or prisoners, well, they preferred one of those two terms. The term that they absolutely hated themselves was inmates, whereas the 10% of people that said that they prefer using the terms inmates or whatever, those were actually people who were more of like your correctional officers or your wardens or stuff like that. So I was just wondering what your personal experience has been with what people like to refer to themselves as.
Yeah. Well, I haven't asked anybody. Okay. So I haven't asked.
No, that's right. That's right.
The term that we use as librarians is patrons.
Okay.
So, yeah, we refer to them as patrons. And
no, I'd imagine that's like a lot more humanizing too, especially because as far as your aspect as a librarian, they are a patron the same way that, you know, you'd have anyone go into a library and be a patron.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, that was just a little side note because I was curious about that because I've heard different things about it. Just as like a little curiosity, I found that some people actually prefer to be called prisoners over incarcerated individuals because they feel like it's a bit patronizing to call them that. It feels like you're kind of mollycoddling them or something. And again, it's like 23% versus 38%. The big thing is just making sure that they're not called inmates because that's definitely a dehumanizing term. So then moving on to like some more program related things, what kind of specific impacts have you seen with people who are on this program? I'd imagine that there'd be a, like you could have like some kind of noticeable observation about someone who comes in on day one, their kind of like interests and everything, and then versus like day 50 or something. Do people's interests tend to stay roughly the same? Or like if you look at someone's history, would that change over time? Or do people tend to like just to read the same stuff?
People will branch out, you know, it's fun to have patrons that are interacting with each other and suggesting, other types of things to read. As librarians, sometimes we'll do that as well. If somebody's looking for something specific, we'll certainly try to find that, and then we'll make some other suggestions to help, where we think there might be materials that they might be interested in, but might not be thinking of, might come as a surprise to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a variety. Cool. And there's definitely a lot of word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, guys like to talk about what they're reading and with each other. So there'll be trends for sure where a certain series will be super popular and they'll all be checked out and they'll be being passed around between people. And then that'll go cold, and then all of a sudden there'll be that series will be back in the library, and it'll look pretty, that shelf will look pretty full. Westerns are that way, where it seems like nobody will check out Westerns for a while, and then all of a sudden you'll get one or two patrons who are interested, and they'll be talking, and then, and, you know, there'll be a lot of activity in the Westerns shelf and people checking out those kinds of books. Mm-hmm. So
do they ever, like, tell you, like, oh, there was this guy that recommended Westerns to me, and that's why most of us are talking about it now? Or do you just kind of have to guess it, why that's all of a sudden?
I don't know. I think it's probably more guessing, but people definitely like to talk about what they're reading. So, and if there's, there's certain books or certain authors, the mm-hmm. people are talking about them for sure.
Cool. So what's the recent trend right now? What are people really into right now?
There was a Cartel series that was
The urban fiction series, right?
Very popular. Yeah. So we couldn't keep those on the shelf, and that seems to have died down just recently, where some of the later books in that series are back in stock on the shelf now. And but it's a good example of something that got real popular and trended.
When you see a series that's like this popular, do you guys actually go out and buy these books, or is it just kind of you have to hope that they come in on donations? Or
we get our books from donations from the community. So and that's Books to Prisoners Overall, who's mailing out to the Illinois prisons and then the local jail libraries too. So the vast majority of the books that we have in the library are donations that come from people in the community.
Okay.
So what I'm
hearing is just that if you want to donate and help out with this monetarily or just with books, donate to Books to Prisoners and they'll make their way to you.
Yeah, and then the books themselves, there's lots of ways to donate the books. There's book collection facilities at the Urbana Post Office, you know, right outside this studio. There's a collection box. There's one outside the Common Ground at the Lincoln Square Mall. We definitely are very thankful for the generosity of people in the community who donate books.
No, yeah, that sounds great. So then I guess another question that I have for you is, what are the demographics of prison librarians themselves? I'm assuming it'd probably be different than, like, the demographics of prisoners, right?
So I would imagine. So my experience has been as a volunteer jail librarian, and you know, here in Champaign. I don't know a ton about the librarians in the state prisons throughout Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
I know that quite a few of the state prisons have funded librarian positions,
mm-hmm.
and so there have been folks within our program who've applied for those kinds of jobs and have moved for those kinds of jobs throughout the state.
Gotcha.
And I think those kinds of positions, they're looking for people with you know, library science backgrounds and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
To be a jail librarian, a volunteer like myself, you know, is the requirements, I think, are probably far less.
Mm-hmm.
A desire to help out and be involved in the program.
Gotcha. So you're pretty much just like all kinds of backgrounds and
all,
everything
all
for
kinds
your
of
jail
backgrounds.
Volunteers.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds great. So are there like any authors? So I know there are like trends and everything, but are there any authors or anyone that's like really hot off the shelves? Like, for example, I know like Patterson and Koontz are like really popular like year round and everything. Is that the same for like the jails that you work at?
Or? Yeah, the Patterson books are always popular. There's you know, a couple shelves donated, you know, designated specifically for James Patterson books. Yeah, the you know, the popular sort of thriller series, the you know, Dean Koontz, and you know, those are all, you know, Stephen King, you know, all the, you know, popular ones are popular within the jail as well too. You know, Richard Rorden books within sci-fi,
mm-hmm.
You know, different urban fiction series pop up and gain popularity, different authors and so on,
mm-hmm.
For sure.
Gotcha. So, like, tons of possibilities for people who, if they're looking to help out and donate, you know, you got your spread of authors there. Looks like thrillers, urban fiction, that kind of stuff is
they read
really popular.
They read what everybody reads.
Yeah.
You know, about half of our library is fiction, so... and then the other half is nonfiction. So there's a lot of people that are reading, looking for reference materials. Books about starting a business are super popular. I think I mentioned that in the essay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. About finding
books,
skills.
Books on personal finance, books on, I mean, you name it, sports, biographies, history, political science,
cool.
You name it.
So then to switch gears for the last little part here, so this is kind of the episode in a series on prison literacy and recidivism with that kind of bent. So with that being said, have you like had any personal experience like kind of seeing the direct relationship between recidivism and prison literacy and everything? Because there's like a bunch of studies and stuff that I've talked about, but that's different than having like, you know, boots on the ground, like firsthand experience.
I, you know, I haven't... you know, spoken to people post-incarceration, and you know, I haven't done any kind of longitudinal studies
that. So we're not going for a study.
But you know, all I can comment on would be my experiences helping people in the library, and you know, the patrons that come into the library. A lot of them are thinking about what they're going to do on the outside and what they're going to do next in their lives, and they're a lot of people are trying to improve their situation. You know, they're, you know, certainly a lot of the self-help materials are helpful. You know, a lot of people are looking for, you know, for example, meditation and ways to cope and to handle situations more effectively. And a lot of people are looking for things to help improve their lot when they get out. So, you know, the examples of books about starting up new businesses or books on certain trades, trying to improve their chances of employment or good situation on the outside.
I think it's really interesting that you make that bit of a divide behind the kind